ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON.
Shri Shukra Uvacha Samyak Vyavasita Buddhis Tavarajarshi Sattama Vasudeva Katayante Yajjata Naishtikiratihi.
Srila Shukadev Goswami said, O Your Majesty, best of all saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to topics of Vasudeva, it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for humanity. Because that attraction is unceasing, it is certainly sublime. Purport. Krishna Katha is compulsory for the Rajarshi, or executive head of government. This is also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Imang Raja Shiyo Vidhu. Unfortunately, however, in this age the governmental power is gradually being captured by third class and fourth class men who have no spiritual understanding, and society is therefore very quickly becoming degraded. Krishna Katha must be understood by the executive heads of government, for otherwise how will people be happy and gain relief from the pangs of materialistic life? One who has fixed his mind in Krishna consciousness should be understood to have very sharp intelligence in regard to the value of life. Maharaj Parikshit was Rajarshi Satama, the best of all saintly kings, and Shukadev Goswami was Muni Satama, the best of Munis. Both of them were elevated because of their common interest in Krishna Katha. The exalted position of the speaker and the audience will be explained very nicely in the next verse. Krishna Katha is so enlivening that Maharaj Parikshit forgot everything material, even his personal comfort in relation to food and drink. This is an example of how the Krishna consciousness movement should spread all over the world to bring both the speaker and the audience to the transcendental platform and back home, back to Godhead. Shishuka Uvacha Samyagvivasita Bhutis Tavaraja Shisatama Vasudeva Katayamte Yajjata Nishtiki Ratihi. Srila Shukadev Goswami said, O Your Majesty, best of all saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to topics of Vasudeva, it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for humanity. Because that attraction is unceasing, it is certainly sublime. Now entering the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is considered the topmost, most important section of this, most important of all scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadev Goswami is congratulating Parikshit Maharaj, as he has done throughout the text, for his insatiable appetite for hearing about Krishna. Shukadev Goswami is going on speaking and speaking because Maharaj Parikshit is going on questioning. He doesn't come to a point where he says, all right, that's enough. But he goes on questioning. He only has 7 days to live. Now, at this point, it will be less than 7 days. So he just wants to fill up his ears with hearing about Krishna. Fortunately for Maharaj Parikshit, that fortune means that which is arranged by Krishna. Because he was so eager to hear, so Krishna arranged that he would have the best speaker. Maharaj Parikshit is the best hearer of Krishna Katha because he's not interested in anything else, even eating and sleeping, not even drinking. He just wants to go on drinking nectar through his ears. So the best person possible to speak that is Shukadev Goswami. So it is a very nice union. The sages at Naimisharanya, they also questioned Suta Goswami, who was present at the time when Shukadev was speaking to Parikshit, that, oh, Shukadev came, Parikshit was there, so many sages came, But when Shukadeva came, then Parikshit thought, yes, this is who I should hear from. There were so many great sages present. But when Shukadeva Goswami came, then Parikshit Maharaj said, yes, now we shall hear. He wanted to hear what is the prime duty for the human being, and especially for one who is about to die. And so many different rishis were there giving so many different answers. But when Shukadeva Goswami came, then everyone could understand that this is the correct person to speak. So Parikshit Maharaj was very anxious to hear, and Krishna arranged that he had the best speaker to speak. And the sages at Naimisharanya were asking Suta Goswami that when Shukadeva came, he was there, he was ready to speak, and Parikshit was there, he was ready to listen. So there must have been topics of Krishna. What else would there be? Shukadeva Goswami is a great devotee, and Parikshit Maharaj also, from the very beginning of their lives. So when they come together in guru-disciple relationships, certainly there must be topics of Krishna. Otherwise, learned sages, they can talk on so many subjects. And we'll find in the Shastra there are so many subjects. Even Shukadeva Goswami, when he first met Parikshit Maharaj, he said the same thing to him. Shota Vyadi Nirajan Rinam. What is that? Nirnam Santi Sahasrasha Pashatalatha Tapam Griheshu Brihame Dinam. He told this to Parikshit Maharaj, that there are many subjects in human society. And in the present age, there are even more subjects. They have. Maya is working overtime in this Kali Yuga and has created more and more subjects. So you can go in the library or you can go on the internet and you can find out everything about everything. So much information is there. So many newspapers, magazines, bombardment of information. So much information. But what is the essence of all information? What is it? Hari Katasha Eva Katasaram. The essence of all katas is hearing about Krishna. As Parikshit Maharaj himself has said in this, when introduced or inspiring Shukadeva Goswami to go on speaking, that hearing about Krishna should come in the parampara system. Who is going to hear about Krishna? Who is the right person to hear about Krishna? Parikshit Maharaj himself has said, who is that? What is his qualification? Fourth verse of this chapter. Nivritta Trishna, Nivritta Tarshaya Upakiya Mahanas. Who is free from material desires, then he can properly hear about Krishna. So Parikshit Maharaj was so much free of material desires. He had no desire even to sleep or drink or eat, only let me hear about Krishna. So Shukadeva Goswami, he was very happy to receive. You'll see Shukadeva is congratulating Parikshit Maharaj. He's very happy to receive such a disciple who will be so much anxious to hear, because Shukadeva Goswami, such a great devotee, his purpose of life, his mission in life, what is that? He was simply wandering here and there in the Kuru and jungle provinces. And there were some foolish village women and some foolish children going behind him and laughing at him. He didn't speak Srimad Bhagavatam to them. He didn't speak of it. As far as they were concerned, he was simply a foolish beggar. They were mocking him. So he remained covered to them. He could not appreciate it. But when the right person came, then the flow, Harikatha Sudha, flow of nectar of Harikatha, simply flowed from his lips. So this is the qualification. The speaker should be bona fide, and the hearer should be bona fide, and then the flow of nectar of Krishna Katha flows. And so many points of inspiration will be there. Just like we see that, first of all, Krishna spoke this Bhagavatam in seed form to Brahma. Then later, different narrations were brought together. Vyasadeva spoke this Srimad Bhagavatam to Shukadeva Goswami. And then Shukadeva again spoke, adding his own nectarian realizations. And this is again recorded by Vyasadeva. And since that time, so many great devotees have been giving their explanations, realizations, and even today, you see, Prabhupada has set up this system, daily Bhagavatam class. So Bhagavatam class means that we repeat what we have heard from the Acharya, what we have read from Prabhupada's books. But some realization there also. The realizations are unlimited because Krishna is unlimited. So there's unlimited. Even in one word of Srimad Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. So there is unlimited realization, unlimited understanding. The basic understanding is that Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are all His servants. But from that basic understanding, so much nectar can be churned. Just like the demigods and demons, they were churning the milk ocean, and so many things came out of that. And ultimately the nectar came out. So we see also even in churning topics of Krishna, those who are not devotees, when they discuss Krishna Katha, then poison comes out, actually. You see, from the ocean, from the milk ocean, first of all there came poison, halal poison. So when non-devotees discuss Krishna Katha, they also discuss Krishna Katha. But another result is that Avaishnava Mukhodgirnam Putam Hari Katamritam Shravanam Neva Kartavya Sarpochishta Yathapayam. That same milk, which is very nourishing and sweet and attractive, nice to drink, if that milk is touched by the lip of a serpent, then whatever remains is poison. It still looks like milk. It may even apparently taste like milk. But instead of nourishing, it becomes poisonous. So in the same way, Hari Katha, if spoken by non-devotees, those who do not accept the principle of Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, those who are not surrendered to Krishna, those who are making a show of devotional service for their own personal motives, then what comes out, what will be the result of that hearing that Krishna Katha? That one's spiritual life will be spoiled. Poison will come out. And it may even appear, just like when you drink milk, it's all just the same as drinking anything, any other milk. But the poison is there, and even the effect may not be immediate. Just like with some kinds of poison, or some arsenic or something, there may not be some immediate effect. But it may be very gradual and very subtle. That's what we find. There are many people who are apparently devotees of Krishna, but actually in their hearts they have some other desire, just like we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There was a very, apparently very nice devotee of Lord Rama. I think his name was Ramdas Vishwas, something like this. So when Raghunath Bhakta Goswami was coming from Varanasi to Puri to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so this Ramdas, he was serving Raghunath Bhakta. You are a Brahmin, you are a great Vaishnava, let me serve you. He carried his sambal, his belongings on his head, and all the time when he was going, he was chanting Ram, 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 he was chanting Ram, Ram all the time. So he appeared to be a very nice devotee. His behavior was very nice, he was always chanting Ram, Ram. But when Raghunath Bhakta reached Puri, he introduced that this gentleman has helped me so much, he's been serving me so much, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He didn't appear very happy to receive him, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is antaryami, he knows everyone's heart. So he knew that in his heart, his actual desire was not to serve Lord Ram, but to become Lord Ram. He had that desire, that impossible desire to become liberate, to become equal by the idea of the impersonalist, that by becoming liberated, I will become the same as God. That just brings to mind that Giriraj Maharaj has told how when he first met Prabhupada, actually usually the disciple or prospective disciple asks some question. But here Prabhupada asked him a question, which immediately shattered all his illusion. He said, do you want to serve God or do you want to become God? And he immediately thought, oh, wait a minute, I was thinking I'm going to become God. Actually you're supposed to serve God. So this idea that we will become God, this impersonalist idea, this is completely, just like you say, the warp and web, you see this otam, protam, do you know that? When they make the cloth, it's going this way and that way. This means every spot of the cloth is covered either by this way or that way, running the cloth. So in the same way, we find that in the modern Hindu religion, every inch appears to be affected by the tremendous power of Sripad Shankaracharya in convincing everybody that actually you are God. You're a God. You see, Kali Yuga, people they're going to work in the train in Bombay, crammed in, sweating, and thinking, I'm God. Sweeper cleaning this stool from the street, thinking, but this idea, ultimately we are all God, very, very deep. Even the speakers on Bhagavatam, now there are many famous speakers on Bhagavatam, Ram Katha, but are they giving the true idea of Krishna Bhakti as Sukadev Goswami is giving? Or are they giving something impersonally mixed or mixed with some desire for fruitive activities? We see here, Sukadev Goswami is telling that to Maharaj Parikshit, yajjata naishtiki ratihi, that you have already jata rati, your pure Krishna consciousness has awakened. And what are the symptoms of that? Naishtiki, fixed, without cessation. Naishtiki, this we find in the Bhagavatam beginning. What are the symptoms of pure devotional service? Two symptoms. What are they? Paradharma. Two symptoms. Savaitam sam paro dharma yato bhakti adhokshaje, then ahaituki apratiyata yayama supasidati. So what are the two symptoms of pure devotional service? Ahaituki and apratiyata. That there is no personal motivation and there is no cessation, not even a glimpse, not even a wink, not even for a moment does a pure devotee deviate from the principle of pure devotional service. There's one statement I believe in Hari Bhakti Sudodhoy, which says that a pure devotee of Krishna, if he's offered that you take lordship over all the universes, you can take the position of Brahma, Indra, any big position, but one condition, for 1 second you stop thinking of Krishna, he won't agree. He will say, what is the use? I'll get. And even anyway, if he wanted to stop thinking of Krishna, he can't also. Just like the gopis, they were so upset with Krishna, Krishna went away from them, they're so upset with him. So they said, what's the use of speaking about this Krishna? He doesn't care for us anyway. Let's stop talking about him and thinking about him, and then we'll be happy. Then what is the problem? We'll just stop thinking about Krishna. And they tried, and they said, well, we can't do it. He's got some mystic potency by which he's entered our hearts. We can't stop thinking about him. So this is the symptom of someone who is actually jatarati, whose feelings for Krishna have awakened, that his devotional service to Krishna flows towards Krishna, like the Ganga flowing, very strong current flowing towards Krishna, automatically, just like the Ganga flows towards the sea. You don't need canals and government plans to make the Ganga flow to the sea. Automatically she flows. So in the same way, a pure devotee of Krishna, his thoughts automatically flow towards Krishna in a very strong current. And there's no deviation this way, no ulterior motive. His only motive in serving Krishna is to serve Krishna. Just like Prabhupada was asked, well, what does this chanting lead to? Prabhupada said, more chanting. What is the goal of devotional service? More devotional service. See, we ask someone, you come and join the ashram, they want to join the ashram, so what will you do? What will I do if I join the ashram? Then you'll work hard all day for Krishna, chanting, dancing, and service for Krishna. So at the end of this service, will I get, if I do this all my life, will I get a pension scheme? Will they give me a house? What will I get? What are the facilities? What are the benefits? The benefit is that the more you do, the more of service we'll give. That's the benefit. The more service, you don't get retirement, but more service. And what is the ultimate goal? So when I die, what will I get? More service. So that is the goal of the devotee, unceasing service. Seva Abhilasha Kare Narottama Das. All the Acharyas are praying. That Tulsi prayer we're also singing. They're simply desiring service. So this Jata Rati, Jata Ruchi, is Parikshit Maharaj had attained this stage by hearing from Shri. Already he was a pure devotee, then hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, who's also a pure devotee on the same level, then his feelings for service to Krishna became increased more and more and more. But if we hear from non-devotees who are not ahaituki, they have some other motive, then what can they give? Someone who is motivated in devotion, in his apparent devotional service, he cannot give pure devotional service, even though he may talk about Krishna praying, and others may have some sentimental feeling that there is Krishna praying, but that has to be seen by one's service attitude and one's proper philosophical understanding must be there. Therefore, Prabhupada has given all these books to explain exactly what is the position. The acharyas, they've taken so much trouble to write so many books. Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipano Sadharma Sansthapako Lokanam Hitakarino. The acharyas, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they wrote so many, they went through all the scriptures. If you see the books of the six Goswamis, how they've studied all the scriptures. They're quoting this scripture, that scripture, another scripture. It means they studied all the scriptures and they took out all the points to establish what is the point, pure devotional service, in all detail, so there may be no misunderstanding. Because naturally, see, we're reading the scriptures, so what is our position? Brahm pramad vipralipsa kalana patav. We are conditioned souls. We make mistakes, we're in illusion, we have the cheating propensity, we have imperfect senses. So even if we just read the scriptures, we'll misunderstand, and there are so many points may be misunderstood. Just like we'll find so many things, we'll find that if we just read without taking guidance from acharyas, then we'll think, who is this Krishna? Why should we worship him? What kind of a person is he? Dancing with other people's wives, or anyway, he's just a cowherd boy. There may be so many misunderstandings. But when we hear from the acharyas, those who are fixed in Krishna consciousness, then everything becomes clear. Fixed in Krishna consciousness means fixed in proper understanding and fixed in proper attitude of understanding also. Even someone may be a very learned scholar, but if his attitude is not one of pure surrendered service to Krishna, then he won't understand Bhagavatam properly. Even if he reads the commentaries of the acharyas, if there's some trace of offense in his attitude, or some trace of pride that I've become such a great scholar, then again he won't understand. He'll become attracted to other so-called great scholars who misunderstand. And they won't be able to see. Someone who becomes a so-called great scholar of Bhagavatam, they cannot see who is actually the acharya, who is not simply a scholar of Bhagavatam, but plants, takes that bhakti. Who is actually an acharya of Krishna consciousness is a great scholar, but more than a scholar. Because Krishna prapti hoi jaha hoite, that Krishna has made him the representative, just like you'll find different companies. Vacuum cleaner company, authorized salesman. He can give you, he's authorized to give you some stupid vacuum cleaner. So in the same way, who's the representative of Krishna? He's authorized by Krishna to give Krishna. So who is an acharya of Krishna consciousness? Not simply explaining in a scholarly way, but wherever he goes, he leaves a trail of Krishna bhakti. Just like you see, what is that, bull in a china shop. Wherever a clumsy person goes, he leaves a disaster or a wreck. That is his nature, very strong nature. So in the same way, a powerful acharya, wherever he goes, Prabhupada traveled all over the world, wherever he went, a great trail of Krishna bhakti followed. And not only the trail of Krishna bhakti, but that he planted so many seeds, which are now increasing and increasing and increasing. But those who are simply scholars, they're reading in a very scholarly way, they say, well, Prabhupada didn't explain this properly. I have a disagreement of opinion. I respect Prabhupada, but I have a disagreement. Who are you to disagree, you rascal? And maybe some, who are you? What is Krishna, what mercy has Krishna given you? who is, we find some so-called scholars nowadays, that if they weren't blessed by Prabhupada having preached Krishna consciousness, they didn't have any idea what Krishna consciousness is, but now they become a great scholar. And I respect Prabhupada, but I disagree with him. As if it's he's a scholar, I'm a scholar, and I'm a better scholar than him, so I disagree. But actually, this Bhagavatam, it's not to be understood simply by becoming a Sanskrit scholar. Aham veti, shukha veti, vyasa veti na veti va, bhaktya bhagavatam graya, na bhutya na chakikaya. There is one verse spoken by Lord Shiva. He says that I understand the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami understands, Vyasadeva maybe understands and maybe doesn't, but anyway, the Srimad Bhagavatam can be understood by bhakti. Bhaktya Bhagavatam graya, na bhutya, not by one's mundane intelligence, na tikaya, not by studying so many different commentaries, becoming a bookworm. That's why Prabhupada told you, study Bhagavatam, hear Bhagavatam, preach, go out, do something. Don't become carrying so many books around, and in this book it says this, and in this book this appears to contradict that. You can't understand. There may be so many apparent contradictions. You'll never understand them by studying this, that, and the other. When you become a servant of the acharyas, who are the Bhagavat Purushas, who are those who are carrying Bhagavan in their heart, Tama Hidaya Shada Govinda Vishram. Those who see Bhagavatam, we're reading book. This book is Krishna. And who is pure devotee of Krishna? Krishna is manifest in their heart. So what is the system to understand Bhagavatam, to understand this book, to serve the Bhagavatas, to serve the great devotees? Then everything becomes clear. Krishna is within the heart. And Krishna sees who is serious to understand. Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Ketana Vidyantastohya Bhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrit Satam. Krishna cleanses away the misunderstandings and the impurities from those who are eager to serve. So those who are eager to hear. But what is the verse before that? Nashta Payeshu Abhadreshu Nibdam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Tamashvati Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. Those who are willing to serve the Bhagavata, those whose desire is to serve, everything becomes revealed to them. Those who don't want to serve, those who have some hidden motive, Krishna can see that. Even we may not be able to see it ourselves. That's why we need an acharya who can. We may not see our impurities. We may think, I'm such a great devotee that one of our godbrothers told me once that he asked Prabhupada, why is the person Bhagavad considered more important than the book Bhagavad? But Prabhupada said, because he can pull your ear. You see, you read the book and you think, now I'm becoming a great scholar. And you go, and Prabhupada will say, you rascal, you fool, go and wash the pots, go and clean the storeroom, then you can understand. So this is the exchange. Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit. Pure exchange, no obstructions. You see, in the electric line, if there's copper wire, no obstruction, simply the current flows. So the same current there will be the same current here. But if you put it through lead, then it won't come. So obstruction means if in our heart there are so many personal desires, then even we're hearing Bhagavatam, we can't understand. But if we become disciple like Parikshit, then that Harikatha, flow of nectar, what is that flow of nectar? Means the pure devotees chanting the glories of Krishna is flowing from his heart in which Krishna is sitting. That means Krishna is speaking through him. So that who's a bona fide disciple, he will simply open his ears and hear. And there'll be no obstruction. He'll understand and become enlightened. And those who have some other motive, they won't accept. They'll say, well, what about this contradiction, that contradiction? I don't agree with this. Maybe it's... They won't be able to understand. So here we're reading the narration of Shukadeva and Parikshit. Our aim should be to be like Parikshit Maharaj, who simply heard Bhagavatam in an attitude of service, preparing himself for the last moment so that his consciousness would be simply overwhelmed by the nectar of topics of Hari, so that he could quit this body, remembering Hari, and go to the abode of Hari. Hare Krishna. So any question, please? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What's your question? If we only hear and we don't practice, what is the use? Well, if we actually hear, then we'll practice, because what are we hearing? We're hearing Sir Krishna. So if we're actually hearing, we'll do it. If we hear but we don't practice, if we don't do that in our own lives, if we don't implement that in our lives, that means we're not actually hearing. We're only making a show of hearing. Yes.
Bhagavatam, as you said, you initially know what happens, thus there is Niranjana. But this Bhagavatam, what we are listening, is not by Sukadeva Goswami, but it is narrated by Sutta Goswami in Nimisharanya. Is it possible to get that whatever discussion happens between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami?
It's right here.
But it is the narration, Sutta Goswami is narrating in Nimisharanya.
Sutta Goswami told what Sukadeva said.
Yes.
So it's there.
But there's some more. Inside.
Whatever Vyasadeva wanted to give us, he has given us. So even why do you desire? Can you understand one verse of Bhagavatam? There are 18,000 verses. Can you accommodate all that in one lifetime?
Next question is that
Lord Shiva said that.
Yeah. Vyasadeva doesn't know. Maybe somebody needs to point.
Vyasadeva doesn't
understand. So he's saying that.
Oh, Vyasadeva understands, but there are levels of understanding. This is on the. You see, who's speaking? Lord Shiva is speaking this from the liberated platform. So among liberated soul, then understanding is there. What is the depth of understanding? See, Radharani is the topmost. And there are other gopis, so they're all pure devotees. They all completely understand Krishna. But what is the level? Certainly Vyasadeva understands Krishna, otherwise how is he Vyasadeva? But I can't say, and you can't say, that Vyasadeva doesn't understand Bhagavatam. There must be what?
Some contradictory points that he is saying that.
There may be some contradictory points, but all contradictions are resolved in pure devotional service to Krishna. There's no contradiction. Contradiction we may receive from the mundane logical platform, but understanding of Krishna is beyond that. It's in a different dimension. Yes, what have you read?
Vyasa
may understand or may not understand.
Sukadeva Goswami understood, I understood. And Vyasa understood something. So like for Madhai Prabhupada, that when Sukadeva Goswami was leaving house and going, then Vyasa was following. And when this lady, they were taking bath, and Sukadeva Goswami went, they were naked. But when Vyasa came, they covered the their body.
Mm.
So the question he asked, and then they answered. So maybe can say a little bit on that.
Question who asked?
That how come my young son was going to a naked and he didn't cover, and when I am old man,
Yeah, well, that Prabhupada explains in the purport that the ladies could understand that Shukadeva Goswami, even though he was a young boy, their age, he was Paramahamsa. Vyasadeva was also Paramahamsa, but from the external point of view, he was a householder who distinguishes between men and women. Whereas Shukadeva, he had no such distinction. So from the external point of view, Vyasadeva appeared to have some mundane intelligence. Therefore they reacted like that. That's what Prabhupada explained in the purport.
So let's say the question remains when Lord Shiva says that he understands and Sukadeva Goswami understands. We ask that may or may not understand. Still the question remains.
Which question? Now that's what I was saying. From our point of view, suddenly Vyasa understands. Suddenly he understands. But there may be so many elevated topics or levels of understanding that he, just like I may say, you may say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I understand and you understand. And Prabhupada understands. So I understand and you understand, but Prabhupada, he also understands, but his level of understanding is on a completely different level, his depth and scope of understanding. So I don't think we can say that Vyasadeva doesn't actually understand Bhagavatam. But what is this? What is the scope?
Yeah, but Vyasadeva is literally in incarnation of Krishna.
Yeah.
So, like we saw that Narada Muni has been instructing that we have written all this wonderful literature, but he has not given the heart from Bhagavatam, and thus Narada Muni spoke to Vyasa, then he wrote Sri Bhagavatam. So one hand he is literally Garishman, and other hand he is instructed by Narada Muni, and Lord Shiva also gave.
And Narada Muni also, apparently he was a maidservant son in a previous life, who he had to become purified by performing austerities, and then Lord Vishnu said to him that, I'm just showing myself to you now, but I'm not showing you anymore. So that even in the lives of great devotees, there appears to be some development also. So from our point of view, they're all liberated souls, but even if there's a question of development, once they're developed, they're fully qualified to do their service. So there may be some past history, but that's why Bhagavatam shows that. That someone was materially contaminated, apparently so, or some material, something is there. But they became purified by the process of devotional service. If that's not there, then what hope is there for us? There's so many stories to show how Dhruva Maharaj had some material desire, but he became so much purified. So that's, actually we shouldn't see it as a disqualification, but even if you say there was some incompleteness or imperfection previously, the point is that if one becomes purified, then there's no bar in his devotional service. He can do anything and everything. Now Vyasadeva, he was apparently confused, which is a symptom of a materially contaminated person. But then he took the instruction from Narada Muni, and by taking that he became free of all confusion, and he was able to write Bhagavatam. Any powerful acharya is considered a Shaktyavesh avatar. Means that the Shaktyavesh, they're empowered with the potency of Lord Vishnu to do the work of spreading devotional service. So from the external point of view, so many acharyas, they may appear to have, in their previous life, just be ordinary, mundane people. Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What was Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj doing before he became Babaji? He's also married. So it may appear that they're just ordinary people. But then how they became devotees later shows that actually they're not ordinary, they're not mundane. Or even if there was some tinge of material attraction, we shouldn't see that. But even if there was, that's completely cleared by devotional service. Brahma nirdhuta kalma sham. Any kalma sham, contamination is completely cleared by devotional service. That's our philosophy, isn't it? That we become freed from all contamination by devotional service. Then you become situated in your own glory. The glory of the jiva when he in pure devotion is that he becomes resplendent and able to do so many wonderful things. That who was previously attracted to maya and so much contaminated, that in the same jiva who is covered by maya, when he becomes uncovered, then he can glorify Krishna, speak about Krishna, engage in devotional service. He becomes liberated from all material contamination. His original spiritual position becomes manifest. It becomes wonderful. Just one. Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Prahlada Janako Bhishmo. Yeah. Vyasakiyas. Actually, this list of 12 Mahajans is there, but you can't say, in another sense, you can't say that Vyasadeva is not a Mahajan. There are so many Chitraketu, they're all great personalities. But these 12 in particular, everything they say is conclusive. Actually, it's a fact that many of the things that Vyasadeva has written, they're not conclusive. Most of what Vyasadeva has written is that's what Narad Muni was telling Vyasadeva, that most of what you've written is jugupshitam, it's rubbish.
That's the last comment that Vyasadeva made at the event, understand.
They're all great devotees, they're saying, hey, you know, he's a great devotee, but what about, you know, what about all those stupid Puranas he wrote? They can say, the Mahajans among themselves, they may speak like that.
See,
I'm not going to say anything like that. Please don't try and push me into it.
But even the plenary portions of the Supreme, the part of the Supreme plenary portion, cannot understand Krishna. What do you think of a unborder?
Even the Vedas can't understand Krishna. Most of them. Most of the Vedas are simply, they're on the Trigunya Vishaya Veda, they're simply on the mundane platform. Therefore, Acharya is more important than Shastra. Who is carrying Krishna in his heart, he will clarify Shastra, and even if there's some contradiction or misplaced point, the Acharya will explain it. This ordinary scholars of the Vedas cannot accept. Who is a self-effulgent Acharya, he will bring light to the Shastra, which is meant for giving light. It's just like, you see, the light is there, but how to turn it on, the Acharya knows. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana ki jai, Hare Krishna.